Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
And when I hid the daguerreotype to see how the contours compared, I gasped. I pushed my chair back and I went, oh my gosh. I realized there aren't six correspondences like the original researchers had proposed. To date, I've discovered 50.
Hey guys, welcome back to Saints Unscripted. I'm Cam.
I'm Jackson.
Curtis.
And Curtis is a...
Person.
Human.
Face expert. And we are going to talk about the recent picture that purportedly shows Joseph Smith.
Yeah. What did you guys think when you first saw it?
When I first saw it, I was like, no way. I was like, no way. I'm like, this is just like someone trying to get something, trying to get a little bit of notoriety.
What did you think, Ken?
I was shocked. I was the complete opposite. I saw it and I was like, that makes sense. That's him.
I looked at that picture with all of my supposed experience and knowledge and said, yeah, I don't think so.
Well, what gives you the experience to even look at that and say, I don't think so?
So I have a friend who's, for my money, the world's leading Joseph Smith scholar. His name's Andrew Ehat. Mm-hmm. And he called me up one day in February 2008 and he said, what do you know about purported photos of Joseph? And I said, nothing much. I knew there was no documentation, again, that he'd ever been photographed. And none of the proposed photos had been authenticated, despite there being many candidates who had been proposed. When the world's leading Joseph Smith scholar calls you up and says, we think we might have a photo of Joseph, all of a sudden my little curiosity switch got flipped. Oh, and I was like, how would we prove it? Because how would you prove such a thing? Or at least test it. How would you even just test it? So there's lots of different ways, right? So there's written descriptions that we have, more than 30, probably more than 50 written descriptions of the prophet from contemporaries who knew him or at least saw him once. We have artwork, historic artwork of Joseph. We have his death mask. And then I was very surprised to learn that we actually have photographs and measurements of his skull. So phrenology, the belief that you could essentially tell things about a person's personality by measuring different proportions and ratios of your head, mm-hmm. was a big thing in Joseph's day. In fact, Joseph gets his head measured by a phrenologist in Philadelphia in 1840. And we still have that measurement card. It's in the church archives.
So let's start bridging then from what we have, what you've discovered now. How does that translate to this picture?
Well, so since I did all that research, initially, because of another picture, every time a purported picture of the prophet comes out, I'll say, well, let's see, because I have this library of over 740 photographs of the two oldest known sets of masks at documented angles of rotation, tilt, and pitch. And I can say, well, can I find an angle that comes close? And if a picture can't even come close to matching the anatomy in the mask, it's probably not good chances that it's Joseph. It doesn't 100% disprove it, but you got to play the odds, right? If I can't get the nose to line up, if I can't get spacing to line up, if I can't get size of head, since we have dimensions of scale and so forth, you just got to go with what the anatomy, what the evidence is. So because of all that research, I had come to believe that A, since there's no contemporary documentation that he was ever photographed, and B, we don't have a photograph that's ever been authenticated, it probably means he was never photographed, right? In August 1839, it's announced to the world that a Frenchman named Louis Daguerre has developed a process whereby you can take a piece of metal, coat it in silver, polish it to like a high mirror-like finish, make that silver photosensitive by exposure to chemicals, then put that in a camera, a box with a lens, uncover the plate, take the lens cap off, have the light strike the plate, and create an image that you would then develop and then seal and protect using glass. And that's called a daguerreotype. And that's invented in August of 39. Joseph dies in June of 44, so he has a little over 4.5 years from which he could have been photographed. But again, no documentation he ever was. So as purported photos come out, I take a look at them and I compare them to the known anatomy and my photographs of the death masks, and I'm able to say, yeah, probably not.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. So that brings us to Thursday, July 21st, 2022, when a friend messages me and says, hey, you've probably already seen this, but what do you think? And it was a link to the Deseret News article about this daguerreotype.
Had you seen it?
No, I hadn't. In fact, I just read the title of the article without even looking at any pictures. And it says, does a photograph of Joseph Smith exist? And I just started laughing, right? Not by saying no necessarily, but I thought, oh, you know, just thinking of all my crazy, merry-go-round, every few years, a new picture. That's right. So I thought, well, let me click the link and check. You know, here we go again. Someone found it at a DI somewhere, whatever. Okay, click on link. I see the picture at the Deseret News, and I go, yeah, I don't think so. Just like I said, yeah, I don't think that looks like him. And then my second thought was, it is interesting. He has a rather large lower third of the face, the proportions between the bottom of the nose, the mouth, and the chin. And I had looked at enough photos to know that most pictures fail immediately on just trying to get those proportions right. But I thought, okay, I messaged my friend, said, you know, don't get too excited. It's probably not him. He probably wasn't ever photographed, but I'll take a look. So I went to my library photos real quick. I found one looking almost straight at you, just like the picture that's called the Larsen daguerreotype. I lined it up, eye to nose to mouth to chin, and went, okay, that's actually quite precise. But that doesn't prove anything because that just means the guy has similar facial proportions. Doesn't mean anything. So then I started—
because there were still details like the nose.
And yeah,
the
you got like, yeah.
A little off.
So I started, well, no, they were spot on in terms of vertical distance. So the next thing to check is shapes, right? Because shapes are important. So I started tracing the chin, the lips, the nose, the eyes, the hair in the photograph. And then I took that tracing and placed it over the death mask and I started examining it. And I went, wow, that's the best match to the mouth I've ever seen. That's amazingly close. Wow, that's the best nose match, including shapes of nostrils and things. I can't dismiss it. And in fact, this is a real contender and the best contender I've ever looked at.
What were you feeling?
Surprised.
Yeah.
A little surprised. Well, very surprised. And I realized, oh my gosh, I actually have to study this thing. I'm not going to spend 30 minutes and just say it's not him.
Now, out of all of these pictures and that you've seen before, how did this one compare to famous paintings and drawings of Joseph Smith, the daguerreotype?
Well, before I get to the paintings, what I did is I went to a forensic reconstruction drawing done by D.J. Bodden. And that's because Bodden had been publicly stating that the daguerreotype wasn't Joseph because the eyes are too small, too close together. And I wanted to be able to talk with D.J. because D.J. knows so much about Joseph's appearance. So I located one of the drawings, which shows an anterior or front view of the prophet's face with living, you know, open eyes, a slight smile, you know, with hair and ears and everything, complete reconstruction. It actually showed bone structure as well. And I scaled that over the death mask and then placed a copy of that drawing over the daguerreotype. And when I removed the white background and saw the precision of matches between the eyes in the daguerreotype and the eyes in D.J. Bodden's drawing, I was stunned. That was the next level of
shock. You were just...
I was like, where's the problem with the eyes exactly? Wow. It was amazingly close, including shapes. So then I started looking at artwork. So we know that Joseph had his face traced, his profile of his face traced in June of 1842, 2 years before he's killed, 2 years and 2 days, in fact, before he's killed, by an artist named Sutcliffe Maudsley. And Maudsley's kind of a self-trained folk artist. But he traces Joseph's profile and then starts producing drawings, one of which, the first one, was used as the source for an engraver to create a depiction of Joseph in his Nauvoo Legion uniform that would be printed on a map of Nauvoo. And by comparing that profile to the death mask, we actually established the reliability, I should say, of both. So the forehead, nose, lips, and chin of the mask line up beautifully with Maudsley's drawings and indicating that the mask is reliable because they're both derived from his natural face. It's the only way to explain the strength of the match between Maudsley's drawings and the death mask. So I started comparing the daguerreotype to Maudsley's drawings, and I was surprised to discover that it corresponded in 14 or 15 details, I guess it's 14 details precisely, to Maudsley's drawings, and nothing that contradicts Maudsley. So I was like, well, that's crazy. And then I went to probably the most famous portrait of Joseph, which is a front-facing oil painting that hung in Emma Smith's bedroom before she dies. And before she dies, she conveys it to her son, Joseph Smith III, with permission to have it photographed. So I thought, well, the Community of Christ researchers who announced this, the daguerreotype, show it compared to the painting, but they haven't talked about or haven't shown the daguerreotype reversed. And I was already able to show that if you don't reverse the image, it doesn't match the death mask. Yeah. It contradicts the evidence in the mask. But when you reverse the image, because, again, daguerreotypes are mirror images,
much more similar.
It's the precision is there. It's amazing. But they show it unreversed, and I was confused by that. And I thought, well, let me do my own comparison to the painting. So I downloaded a decently high-resolution image of the painting, and then I overlaid the daguerreotype on the painting, scaled it to match the distance between the eyes, and then I traced all the shapes of the face and the head in the painting, including the outer edges of the hair and everything. And when I hid the daguerreotype to see how the contours compared, I gasped. I pushed my chair back and I went, oh my gosh.
This.
I realized wow. there aren't six correspondences like the original researchers had proposed. To date, I've discovered 50 correspondences between the painting and the daguerreotype, the unreversed Larsen daguerreotype. And there are 40 of those 50 matches are high or precise matches. And we're talking little things from shapes of eyes. The eyes are differently shaped from each other. If you look at the painting carefully, one's got an elongated lacrimal area where your tear duct is and in the corner of the eye. Even the shape of the nose and the nostrils are all derived. It looks like we're matches to the Larsen daguerreotype. The shape of the mouth, little things like shadows at the corner of the mouth, just amazing little details. And there's this one prominent glabellar fold right between the eyes and the painting. It's there in the locket as well. And those matches told me this painting was done from a daguerreotype backwards of the subject's real face. And that tells me the person in the Larsen daguerreotype most likely is the prophet Joseph Smith. And then why would you paint him backwards and from a daguerreotype if he's alive and can sit in front of you? And so that told me this isn't David Rogers, 1842. This is probably after Joseph's killed. So it's just a crazy story all around.
Just so you know, when I first heard this information, I lost it. I was like, you know.
It's crazy. I mean, I've been going out of my mind crazy since probably early August when I discovered this evidence of the painting and the daguerreotype matching so precisely.
No, I just have one more question about kind of the conclusion of like, what do you think the story, your theory behind how we got the painting and the daguerreotype, do you think someone, Emma, just had someone come over and be like, hey, I'd like a picture of me and my husband.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
produce that.
So let's talk about the daguerreotype first. We obviously don't know when it was created. Joseph lives in Nauvoo for the last, you know, say, six of the last 8 weeks of his life with a daguerreotypist in Nauvoo. His name is Lucien Foster. And we know Foster arrives on April 27th, 1844. 2 months to the day before Joseph's killed. 2 days later, on April 29th, he's visiting Joseph in the mansion house. And so it's possible that Lucien Foster, who was a daguerreotypist from New York City, was the person who created this daguerreotype. We can't prove it. There's no documentation. But those last 2 months of Joseph's life were quite hectic. A lot of stress, mm-hmm. a lot of concern, a lot of threats of murder, kidnapping.
Fleeing, returning.
Yes, fleeing, all kinds of problems, right? So it's possible that that was made for Emma. It's in a small locket, an inch and a half in diameter, and it's a piece of woman's jewelry. I think Emma's hiding this locket from the world, keeping the only true photograph of Joseph Smith for herself.
Yeah.
And I think it passes to Joseph Smith III after her death. The painting itself, I think, Emma commissions from two daguerreotypes, her first daguerreotype and the locket, sometime after Joseph's dead, maybe in the early 1850s, we don't know. And the reason I think that is all of the details in the painting, because like when you said it didn't match the painting,
yeah.
all the details in the painting which differ from the Larsen daguerreotype, I discovered seemed to come from the second oldest son of Joseph and Emma, Frederick. Frederick's face, the shape of the ears, the size of the eyes, the height of the nose, the width of the mouth, even the hairline at all three sides of the forehead all seem to match Frederick. Mm-hmm. And we only have three known photographs of Frederick, right? But I can show correspondences in all three photos at different ages.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. So it looks like the artist was commissioned, probably a traveling, you know, itinerant painter, commissioned to paint a painting using a live model, Frederick, who looked like his father to some degree, using the Larsen daguerreotype to add specific shapes and details. And then there's even a little shape of the lip that looks like it comes from the death mask. So the artist may have been using his son, Joseph's death mask, and the Larsen daguerreotype.
It's an amazing painting.
Oh.
Really, it's beautiful.
I used to not like it very much based off my research back in 2008, mm-hmm. 2009, because of those anatomical differences between the painting and the death mask. But now I love it. It's like the most beautiful painting in the world. It's like you couldn't have given us a bigger piece of the puzzle
right.
than to have taken that locket and painted this picture. It's incredible.
When I saw the picture the first time in that Deseret News article, something clicked and every story I had heard of Joseph suddenly became more personal to me. It felt like I was finally able to put like the personality to the face.
A real person's face.
It humanized him.
Yeah,
did that change your perception of him at all when you finally came to the conclusion that it might most likely
was? Well, yes, because obviously it's a real photograph of a real person. You can tell that, right?
No matter how good a painting
is. And you, I think you can see weight and care in that face. And a lot of people, you know, read things into it. I look at that face and I see someone who looks like he has concern. He looks like he's lived life. One of the comments I hear most is that he looks too old to be 30 and a half years old. Well, I think that's because he had a hard life. He lived on the frontier. He lived without the modern conveniences that we have, that, you know, skincare products and sunscreen and modern medicine and so forth. And I think he had a hard life, and it showed on his face, I think. So,
now he, the last few years of his life are very...
I think the last 14 years of his life.
He's true. But he's making
quite a few things
going on. Especially
that
Nauvoo period, just getting out of liberty, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. And let's not forget the fact that it was discovered in the possession of a great-great-grandson. It was given to him by his mother. And, you know, I mean, that's not solid proof of dating all the way back to Joseph and Emma, but my goodness, that's a pretty huge clue.
It's compelling.
Yeah, it's a piece of the puzzle. There's still a lot of work to be done. And again, I'm not an expert, so we need to talk to real experts in photography and forensic anthropology and forensic art historians. There's a whole series of tests that need to be done on these paintings. I'm hoping that my research and going public will help spur that research by real experts.
Wow. Well, Curtis, we're grateful for you sharing the evidence, some of the evidence, not even all of it. We've got to see a little bit more.
I should mention, I have a 3-hour interview on Mormon Book Reviews with Steve Pineker.
We'll link that
down below. Click above.
But thank you, Curtis. It was a really fun episode.
It's my pleasure, you guys.
Make sure to check out more of his stuff, and I'll see you guys later.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube or shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.